Okay. Why don't we go on with this for now? I would like to get a report from Stephanie in the open session if she gets back in time. So why don't we continue with this for a little while? Are there any other questions for Bertil for open session?
Since I'm waiting for Stephanie, I just wanted to focus before on all the cuts, but I can focus on my goals and objectives and dreams that you call them. So that way we can spend a little time talking about that stuff with my program director on the line. And then we can go into the potential cuts when Stephanie comes in and then when we go into the executive session. Is that okay?
That's okay. We're here to talk to you about the WBAI budget. So why don't you go ahead with that?
So the cuts might come to about $150,000. If we put them into effect, they obviously will not be able to be implemented immediately. I'm projecting that anything happens will have to happen today because there has to be discussions, and we'll leave it at that. That will be discussed in the executive session.
I'm just going to interject here to say, I think what you're trying to say there, without saying it, is just like at KPFK, we have a union shop, so these things need to be discussed with the union. We have to come to agreements. We can't just make pronouncements. So that's what's needed to be done. Is that what you're referring to?
I didn't know I could say that publicly, so.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's individuals we can't talk about publicly, or positions that you could identify an individual from the title of their position.
Yeah. So, Linda, I hope you're here, and I hope you back me up or you echo me when you feel that you need to step in. What we have decided to do is that and we know we are short in the fund drive goals monthly, even though we are doing pretty well in the BI buddies, which is still at 18,000. We are doing well in a community event by David Rothenberg. We average, 7,000 a month, plus or minus, community events. We only made 5,000 so far. We postponed a few things. What we are doing is that as we focus on PSAs, then we are faltering on fundraising, because it's only Linda and I who can focus on everything. But what's happening is, as we focus on PSAs, then the fundraising goes down. So the fundraising is at about 80% or 85% of our goal. But we have brought in about $50,000 of PSAs since May 2022. We just received one partial check from New York City Department of Transportation for $4,000, and then there's a lot more to come. We have been only focusing on two entities, New York City Department of Transportation and New York City Department of Health, because it was a lot of work, a lot of paperwork. We needed to win their confidence and focus on servicing them so that we can keep them as clients, so we more or less know what we're doing now, and so we can go after the Department of Sanitation.
We also had to create the PSAs for the Department of Transportation, which is, be careful when you cross the street, be careful trucks when you're turning, watch for people, six different ones, but we created them for them. And for the Department of Health, it was really selling them on what our population of listeners were interested in, and the fact that there are many who are vaccine hesitant, and that sold them right away on us as a client to get their message out. So basically what we're doing right now is focusing on New York City PSAs. We will expand that to New York State, and we will also expand it to other New York City entities. Another project that Bertil came up with, which is a really good one, is for one of our programmers who is very well recognized in doing interviews with authors. So we are going to approach the publishing companies to put a PSA at the end of his show, not on all of our programs, but the end of his show, to bring in some monthly money for that particular show. Another thing we're doing is we have gone into an inventory in terms of who has BAI buddies. These are sustaining memberships to WBAI, and we have calculated which shows have BAI buddies. Some of them have 66 buddies, some of them have one, and some have no buddies. So we are in the process of going through that, speaking to our staff about that, trying to figure out how each show can increase buddies in this month that's coming up, which is March, Women's History Month. We are reinstating a BAI buddy pitch for Women's History Month. I created these moments in Women's History, which has a buddy pitch to your favorite show at the tail of them. And I've enlisted our producers to also create, you know, moments in Women's History, their favorites, which will go between programs. As we also did last month, we did something called This Day. I'm almost done. And last month we did This Day in Racial Injustice, and we put these 3-minute segments between programs. So we will be doing that with our BAI Women's History buddies to try to raise the number of BAI buddies, because Virtual has calculated what would happen if we had sufficient buddies to each of the shows. So Virtual, you can take it from there.
So we have this day in
racial injustice.
Racial injustice is basically two, three minutes talking about what happened this day, like 100 years ago, some racism or something like that against Black people. And then now we're doing the same thing with women. And then we actually sent the whole collection of 28 days to Stephanie. She was trying to get some grants from that. And we're going to hopefully she try to get some grants for the one we're doing for This Day in Women History. Maybe we can use that for the entire network. If we have 30 shows, we have about 30 shows with zero buddies. If they have 10 buddies each, we average $17. That's $5,000. There's another 31 shows or plus with one buddy. So that's another $5,000. So now the question is, like we have already raised, the end of the earth protest, because we called a mandatory meeting to talk about this problem. I feel that if you cannot get 10 people on your show to support your show, what are you doing on the air? I mean, you can get 10 family members, and I've been told that I'm attacking producers. So 10 BI buddies for each show. I mean, first of all, you shouldn't have zero. You should support your own show. That's about $15, $17 a month. If you have 9 family members, cousins, enemies, friends, coworkers, you should be able to have 10 people supporting your show. I'm not even talking about the 20-plus million people in New York City listening, having access to the airwaves. So 30 with one BI buddy and another 31 with zero BI buddy, that could be $20,000. But the big question always is, how do you motivate, how do you get people to do this without creating a political war in the network about me being anti-producers, which is actually happening right now. There has to be some form of basic responsibility. The other thing is that we do not have too many premiums coming up. And it seems like some producers think that it's our responsibility management to come up with a premium for your show, the show that you value. You have a show about a specific subject that you are interested in, and then we are the ones who come up with premiums. That has never been the case. Management has been around to support and come up and help producers coming up with premium. But management was never the one responsible for coming up with premium. So these are the two issues. I just want this committee to know, because, it's not just finance. It's a lot of issues going on here. Then there's the city council, New York City Council Discretionary Fund. We have finally applied there were three different forms to apply for and to be approved. And then we have been approved to receive discretionary funds. We sent a letter to all the 52 city council members. We know who they are. We know what they like. We know which committee they are on. We know which caucus they are on. And then we have received a correspondence from one of them wanting more information. And so we are crafting a 10 letter that we're going to send to each one of them. And I've already called 10 of them and have some good responses, talking to director of budgeting and stuff like that. And so we have no idea if we're going to get $1 million from these people or $0. So these are the things that I didn't want to talk, but since we're waiting for Stephanie, so just talking about, you know, our projects.
So what you're talking about is discretionary funding that each council member has, which it can allocate however it wants. And so we sent out a letter, you know, talking about we sent out a letter, a basic letter talking about how we can reach out into various communities, how we are coming back after COVID, how we need certain things to get the station in better condition in terms of equipment and other resources that are needed, to sort of like set out an introductory letter. And so now we will follow that up with specific letters to the specific council members who have been on BAI. We have a 5 o'clock stream of programming, which Bertil likes to call New York One on steroids, which has to do with a local New York program that's on Time Warner here in New York. But it speaks each weekday to issues concerning New Yorkers. So it's a stream of programming. It's where we put on many of these council members. So it's not like we're reaching out in the dark. And also, when I was news editor, I used to go to the city council all the time and meet with these people and report on them. So that's a connection that we're pursuing. But, you know, there's only two of us in management, and it's really hard for us. So that's where we're coming from, but we're trying to do the best that we can. Back to you, Bertil.
We found out with the collaboration of some of our producers who gave us information that we have had at least 75% of those 52 city council members on the WBAI at least once or twice. So
right. They
are familiar with us, or if they're not familiar with us, we will remind them that they were on the air with this producer. And it's not a quiproquo that they're giving us money so that we can put them on the air. We have already put them on the air. We are discussing New York City issues. So if this doesn't work this year, we'll work next year. But next year is too late for us, obviously. So that the idea is to start rebuilding this now that we have our audit in order. We did receive some money from them a couple of years ago, but we couldn't cash it because they needed some form in our audit. Our audit was not in order and on time, and so we lost that money. But we can still say that we are approved and receive funds from city council members. We didn't cash it, but we receive funds from allocation of funds from the city council members. So that's something that hopefully going on the positive. But I mean, obviously for you board members, I understand your concern from the last meeting. These are not something we can count on until we see the results. So these are the projects that we are doing.
We can count on the PSAs, and we can count on increasing the PSAs, and we can count on increasing buddies because we're putting the pressure on to do that. So those are our new incentives and new pushes that we're doing here at BAI in New York.
And then we have our fingers crossed, and we hope that we could do a good job getting publishers to support
and the
shows
publishers.
That,
yeah, that's the third new arm of the deal. Right.
Spending a lot of my time on this right now. My goal is to get $5,000 a month at least, supporting that show from producers, from publishers, and then the goal is to get that $5,000 from many publishers, not one, because we don't want to depend on one. We don't want to be told to be viewed as supporting a specific producer. The way it works, so that you can feel comfortable, is that the show looks at subjects, interests, writers, and reaches out to them and ask them to be on the air. And then if they have a book, we ask them for a book, we read the book and we discuss their book and then their publication, and then we reach out to their publishing company and then we get them to donate 5-10 of them to us for that show, for producer, for listeners who give $50 to the show at that time for that specific book. So it's not specific about any publishing company. It's just looking for subjects and people to interview. And so we've had so many different publishing houses that we are establishing a list right now that I should have anytime now, today or tomorrow, from the producers of that show. And we have to figure out a strategy to reach out to them and
tell
them.
Well, we talked about a strategy. But, you know, so another thing, we'll see how this works out, but then there are other things that we can do that are along that line. Like we have many shows that deal with the criminal justice system. So, for instance, On the Count, which has people who were behind bars on the air as hosts, and we have other criminal justice programs on the air. So going to somewhere like the Marshall Project, and if you look at their funders, it's really just putting together packets and then figuring out how you're going to approach people, like we did with the Department of Health, and then trying to figure out if there would be a PSA from one of these funders that we might want to put on. It might seem dangerous to some of you that we are pursuing this kind of line of thought, but we don't have CPB funding, as you well know, and we really need more resources here in New York, as the rest of the network does. So what we're doing is trying to develop stuff locally that we can share with the network, and we're also trying to figure out where we go next after we secure some regular funding.
Susan. I'm going to put myself on the stack. Anyone else? And Bertolt, were you trying to finish your thought there?
Yes, I just wanted to say that.
Please try to be brief, okay? We're running out of time.
Quickly, I didn't want to share this with you guys because, you know, you always tell us we have this dream. But these are things we are trying to do because we have to try to do something to make more money. And obviously, they're not part of the budget until they are proven. So I just wanted to be sure that you understand that we understand this is not something that you can jot down. But these are the things we're trying to do because we really do not want to cut. We would love to be able to bring in enough money to avoid these things. But we all know that it's been a while since we've been trying to do that and then nothing has happened. So therefore, understanding the how people have doubts about these projects. But I think these are new projects, and I think Linda has been very active supporting me. And also I have notified some people that tough times are coming, so they seem to be more responsive to working to get these things going.
Thank you, Rachel. Susan.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, I think the revenue initiatives sound exciting, and I'd like to look at some of them for KPFT. And what we have all found is that the revenue initiatives do not catch up fast enough to be able to prevent the drastic cuts that are needed. What James McFadden said very clearly is there's no place that the money can come from. So it isn't what we want to do. It's what we will have no choice in doing. The PNB last year adopted a motion. Both Jim Dingaman and I wrote it. And it was instructing or requiring the GMs to annually review the entire program grid, that no one had a guaranteed show, and it was to give y'all cover to be able to remove shows that that make no financial contribution, at least during the key times of day and week. Have you been able to move forward on that, Linda and Berthold?
Let me just say, Berthold, one at a time.
Hold on.
Linda, why don't you go ahead? About this question, Susan, so thank you for that. What we're doing with the buddies and finding out, you know, and determining which shows have buddies and which shows don't, and working with those shows is exactly along the lines of what you're saying. So I'm not going to just throw shows off the air. You know, these are shows that have been on forever and ever and ever. I will work with shows, and if it's, and I have removed shows that just don't work. But I'm not going to just go in there and just take everything off that doesn't make any money. I'm going to try to work and give the shows a couple of months, like 3 months, you know, and work with the shows to try to get more buddies. So that's part of this March push for BAI buddies during Women's History Month. It worked last year during Women's History Month, and I'm hoping it will again. And we will keep taking stock of where the shows are and what they're doing. One show, for example, puts out a monthly newspaper, The Independent, and they're going to put ads as in-kind donation for us. So we are looking at that. We are, you know, so we're in process, Susan. That's the way I can answer that. And let me just say, I think where you're handling it is great.
Sorry?
I got you.
I think the way you're handling it is great.
Yeah, you can't just, you know, remove shows. Okay, Berthold, sorry. Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, I think Linda has been a little bit modest here. I think my job has been to moderate stuff because Linda has been very aggressive, changing shows, removing shows, aligning shows so that they can float during the day. It has been a very tough process. There has been a lot of criticism from the board and producers about recklessness. I think we have settled down a little bit now to a certain extent. I mean, even sometimes I have been a little uncomfortable. I'm like, let's slow down. But she's like, yeah, that doesn't work, doesn't feel right, doesn't flow. So we have increased listenership based on that, but we have not found a way to increase how we go from increasing listenership to raising money. Also, for example, let's assume that we get rid of the 30 shows that do not have one buddy. The idea of being able to replace a show and to put a new show and to shepherd that show, 30 shows is a nightmare. You know, I mean, Linda has we have implemented the 7 a.m. strip that has increased listenership tremendously. It was a nightmare. You know, I had to take over all the form of programming to a certain extent where Linda was focusing on producing and editing, helping those shows, and then, you know, every time something else come up, something new, I mean, Linda edits one another show completely to produce it, and it's one of our best shows. So it is, logistically speaking, a nightmare to deal with.
Can I just add, I just want to add for that, you know, had we not increased our morning show and changed it all around and gotten rid of what was there before, we wouldn't have gotten the PSAs. That go between the morning show and Democracy Now. That's why we got them, because the listenership went up there, you know, went up. Go back, Berthold. Go ahead. Finish up.
So that was
just an important thing for us, because if you don't start off the morning well, and if you don't have a – we have something called What's Going On, which is our morning strip. So we have Bob Henley on Monday. He's a labor guy. On Tuesday, we have Frenchie Davis, who does community, sexual, and relationship kind of programming. Wednesday, we have Palestinian, Brooklynite, Linda Sarsour. And then on, I'm up to Thursday, we have Felipe Luciano, who does, he's just wonderful. And then Friday, Johanna Fernandez, you know, activist, author, wonderful host. So we have a good strip in the morning to set the day off. And then we have other strip programming, which, is going, you know, if you look at our schedule, it's really good, like one show flows into the next. But that is a lot of work, and I'm just not going to go and start removing shows. We're going to do this slowly, but not too slowly.
Okay, thank you, guys. I have a specific question, and then did I hear McFadden requesting the stack?
That's correct. I requested the stack.
Okay, I got you. All right, I'm going to ask the question, and then it's your turn. And then we're going to need to consider moving on from this. Fred, do we have Stephanie yet?
Sorry, no.
Okay, no worry. But we should be sure to go to executive session so we can discuss some of the other things that we can't discuss here in the open session. Let's see. You just covered what I was going to ask about, which was, you know, you don't just drop shows and then expect somebody to be standing in line to work as a volunteer to produce a show, which is, you know, a monumental task. So it's not, you know, you can't just kill all these shows. You have to do it in some kind of a sane way. But Bertel, we had a conversation about this earlier, and it was the question of whether you can have targeted PSAs on shows, which would be like publishers pointing PSAs at a particular show that has an author on, and versus sponsorship of shows, and both of which are versus the underwriting motion that the PNB passed, which specifically said no targeted underwriting for specific shows. Could you briefly give an opinion on that, and then we'll go to McFadden.
Well, that would be definitely a problem for us. I don't know what you mean by targeted. So the way I see it is, if you have 200 publishers that just happen to be publishing some of the books of the people that we deal with on a regular basis, that we interview, and we have them saying that, you know, they support this show, and then, you know, and then look at our catalog of books for this kind of book that you're looking for. If you call that targeted and you say that's bad, that's the problem for me.
All right. Well, that's just to briefly respond. This is part of the underwriting motion resolution that was passed by the PNB, which is focused on preventing sponsorship from eventually influencing content. So that's something we can discuss further in the future. Let's go to McFadden, and then let's...
I just want to say that would not be anything that would be interfering or dictating content. If we did a PSA on a specific show regarding a publisher, we could say, you know, John Dean wrote this book, blah, 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 and he is part of the Harcourt Brace family. This is listener-sponsored WBAI New York. But that would go on that specific show, not like the PSAs for New York City Health or Transportation, which goes throughout the day. This is totally different. And so we're going to try it, you know, just to be clear.
So that's a policy matter that will have to be reviewed by the PNB.
Right. And
so I'm going to make sure you know that before you go off and, you know, get too involved in it. All right, we can discuss that later.
Right.
Let's go on to McFadden so we can get to the closed session. Go ahead, McFadden.
First of all, I want to applaud you for working on new ways to increase revenues and on all the hard work you do to make the shows as useful and informative to the community as possible. That said, we don't have money, and so I want to just emphasize that when you come back with a budget, the budget has to be balanced, and it should have two things, I think, in it. If your revenue, and by balance, it has to also have realistic revenues. If something is brand new and you don't know, you can't put in a large, you know, oh, we think we're gonna get all this money from it and that's gonna balance it out. You have to be really realistic about what those revenue streams are. And then what you should do is you should have two things. You should have a de-scope option. So if revenues come in less than what you've done and how you're going to cut, and if your revenues come in high, if it's like, oh, wow, these things are doing great, how are you going to use that extra money? And that's fine, you know, to have it. But you need to have both, and they need to be monitored, you know, every couple of months. And if the revenues are coming in high, then it's okay to spend that money on the upscope. If the revenues are coming in low, then you have to take those descope options. And I don't know what those are. You know, you guys are there, and you're going to have to figure out what shows or what people are going to have to be cut or what's going to get cut. But you have to have that because there's just no bailout any money left anymore. And that has to, we're going to hold you to this year. So don't come thinking it's going to happen anything any other way. That's what's going to happen.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
That's why we have the projected cuts, the potential cuts, you know, that have to be worked out. Projected them by, you know, by the time of negotiation, we May 2023, the latest, I hopefully. And hopefully by that time, there would be no need for it. So I guess that would be the upscope and downscope you are talking about.
Okay. On that somber note, I think it's time for us to duck into executive session so that we can discuss some of these things further. Is there any objection to moving to executive session?
How do I do that?
Hold on a second. You're making a motion to adjourn to executive session, right?
Yes.
Do I just stay on this call?
Just stay on the call, Bill. Just stay on the call. We have to let our Paul catch up. He's trying to document this for the minutes.
Got it.
Thank you, our Paul. Okay, Fred, can you cut the stream for us and let us know when you've done it?